Steve Smotherman is senior pastor of Legacy Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now ministering in four campus locations, Legacy has grown into a dynamic, welcoming community of believers committed to sharing the good news of Jesus and introducing people to the God of another chance. He and his wife Cynthia have been married for over 36 years and have 3 children and 8 incredible grandkids. Please stand and welcome a close friend of Pastor Carl and Trinity Church, Pastor Steve Smotherman.
Wow. Yeah, if you're going to stand, let's thank God, because he's the one that counts, right? He's the only one that counts. And as you're standing, I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being here. You said if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you'd lead and direct our paths, crown our efforts with success. So we acknowledge you in this place today. And Father, I thank you that you'd give me clarity of speech, that you'd help me to articulate this message in a way that speaks to each one, because it's not so important what I say that counts today. It's what you say to each one in this room that matters the most. So, Father, with clarity and simplicity, may you help me teach what you want me to teach. And may we all have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We thank you for this great house, this great church. Many blessings upon it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's an honor to be back at Trinity Church with Pastor Carl and Gloria Todi. Great people. You guys, you know, you guys get used to things. We get, you know, your pastor comes up every week and does what he does. But, you know, you got a phenomenal pastor. They're great people. And I admire him so much. I mean, this last 2.5 years, he just kept believing God and telling you the truth. And there's not a lot of truth tellers out there anymore. And so you have a great one. And Pastor Carl and Todi, Gloria, it's an honor to be here with you guys. And what a great place. The place looks wonderful. I mean, the sanctuary is incredible, isn't it? You guys did a great job with that. And you know, everything rises and falls on leadership. You have good leadership. You have a great organization. So you guys have great leadership as your leaders, and it's a great church. You're known all over the country. And Pastor Carl, you know, with his leadership, his coaching, he's just phenomenal. I'm not that gifted, and obviously I don't have good hair like he has. I always tell him, every time I see him, he says, you got great hair, and you got that radio, TV voice. My wife tells me my voice never passed puberty. And so... there's that, but I'm jealous, but I'm not supposed to be. But listen, it's so good to be here. And I have a message that I simply titled The Hard Sayings of Jesus. I'm going through the Bible and teaching on some of the hard things that Jesus said, because we get caught up in, you know, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And it always waters down the scriptures when you hear it. In fact, I've heard people, you know, use that term, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And then they talk about a Jesus, I don't have any clue who that is. I mean, they talk about God in a way that I'm like, it's so foreign from the scriptures. Because we say God is love because God is love. But love doesn't mean that he just puts up with everything or just allows everything or everything's okay. And that's how people want to live life in our culture. And so what's happening today, even in a greater way, is that the Word of God and God's ways are colliding with the world's ways. And they're so distinct today. There's the church of the Lord Jesus, and then there's the state church in America today. And we found that out in the last 2.5 years. Those who just yield and submit to things being said, whether we know they're true or not. What grieved me, I think, over the whole 2.5 pandemic years, because I hail from the People's Republic of New Mexico. Seriously, it's a communist nation. All you got to do is cross the border and you can feel it. It's just so different than here. I love being in America, by the way. Through the whole pandemic, I came to America, I came to Texas, I went to Arizona, I went to Oklahoma. It was just good to be in America. And then you guys have the Dallas Cowboys. Come on. So you guys got it all. We don't even have a team. But you know, it's refreshing to see pastors just stand up in their pulpit and continue to lead and not follow the world. And you know, folks, the only truth we have is this book. This is the only truth that never changes. And we're to believe this over everything else. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Now I'm going to say this, and I might say it again. This is the most eerie, if you would, haunting, scariest scriptures to me in the whole Bible. I mean, you read the Bible and that's all great, right? But these verses, listen, since the day I've read them, or for a long time anyway, I think about these scriptures as much as I think about any scriptures in the Bible. And the reason I think about them, because he's talking to people like us. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to outsiders. He's not talking to people that say they hate God or they want nothing to do with God or they don't go to church. He's talking to people that know him and know who he is. Well, they don't really know him, but they know who he is. They know he is Lord. And so Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law." Now think about what he's saying. Think about who he's talking to. He's not talking to someone that doesn't believe in him. He's talking to someone that recognizes him as Lord. Lord, Lord, you're Lord. And he's like, I have no clue who you are. That's pretty scary. Because when you think about it, he's talking to people like this, and God forbid there's anybody at Trinity Church in this category, where people want to come and tell Jesus how great they are, how many things I've done. I mean, these guys are giving Jesus their resume, and God's looking at them like, I could care less. I have no clue who you are. And then he goes on to say, you're the ones who break God's laws. And they just got to saying, we prophesied, we cast out demons. We did great things. We did many miracles. And how does he say he doesn't know them? Because they wouldn't do the simplicity of the gospel. They just wouldn't do what he asked. They did what made them feel better. And today in America, we have it. We say the same things. We just say it a little differently. Here's what people say. They'll come and say, you know, they said it to me. I'm sure they've said it to your pastor. They'll say, man, I did this for God. I did this for God. I did this for God. I sacrificed this for God. And he didn't do thus and so. He didn't do the things that I thought he should do. Because God is not our genie. And so people begin to tell God, God, I did this for you. I did this. I did this. I did this. Why didn't you do this? It doesn't work that way. But that's how people do it. And it's the same principle here. We're trying to tell God how great we are. God, because I did all these things, like God doesn't know. Like he doesn't know. And we got to come back to the scriptures to find the truth. You know, I preach this, even with climate change. So many people buy into climate change. We just hear it. We hear it all the time. Climate change. Before that, it was global warming, but the earth got cooler, so they changed it to climate change. But think about what climate change basically said. It talks about that our carbon footprint is ruining the earth. Methane levels are ruining the earth. So let's get rid of all the cows. Not in Texas, we're not giving up our cows. Not even the People's Republic of New Mexico. I'm not giving up my steak. I'm going to eat that steak. But somehow it's destroying the world. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in these things. And the truth is, God made a decree. He spoke into existence that will go forever, be fruitful and multiply. Do you think God would say that if he built the earth too small for all the 7 billion people or almost 8 billion people on the earth? No, he built it big enough. If there was 50 billion people on the earth, it would still be more room. So we can't get caught up in the lies. It's deception. It's deceit. And it pushes us away from God. God created the earth for us. He did not. I was created. I wasn't created for the earth. The earth was created for me. It was created for you. God created this earth to put people, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And I would bet Pastor Carl has never had to teach this, because I've never had to teach this. I've never had to get up in the pulpit and say, okay, folks, we're just not having enough babies. So today I'm going to do a message on be fruitful and multiply. And we're going to talk about anatomy and all that. And we're going to talk about how to make babies. I've never had to do that. Have you ever heard a sermon on that? No, because we can do that without even nobody preaching to us. And so you can't get caught up with there's too many people on the earth. There's not enough. And if you took all 7 billion or over 7 billion people and put them in one state, they would all fit in the state of Florida. How's the earth too small? God is great. What I'm trying to say is we've got to look at the greatness of God and the bigness of God. He didn't make this earth too small. We're just not having enough babies yet. So if there was 50 billion, 10 billion, 30 billion, it wouldn't be enough. The earth would still sustain us. Why? Because God's not dumb. He's not stupid. But when we get caught up in that, that's what we're saying. God, you just made the earth too small. It's like God looked at Jesus and the Holy Spirit and said, you know what? Man, I made the earth a little too small. How did I know? We had no idea these people would really go out and be fruitful and multiply like they are. Because in my mom's day, they had 12 kids. They had no TV. Today, if you have 12 kids, people look at you like, you're crazy. Like, what? Don't you know there's things you can do to prevent that? You just got too many kids. Why do we? So God doesn't think so. So we've got to come back to the scriptures. And Jesus is saying, these people that are coming to me know who I am, but they don't do what I say. They do what makes them feel good. So if we want to enter the kingdom of God, hopefully we do, we must be committed to Jesus. We cannot simply just date Jesus and expect to go to heaven only doing the things to impress him, only doing things that we think might impress him. See, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. In other words, you give 100, I give 100. If we're married, that's what we do. Marriage is not 50-50, but divorce is 50-50. You tend to have to split up stuff. Marriage is 100, you give 100, I give 100. So God gives us 100%. He gave Jesus, who died for all of our sins. He gave us everything. He held back not one good thing from us. And now he's saying, now I want you to do the same for me. I don't want you to hold back anything in your life from me. My hand needs to be upon it. My word needs to be upon every aspect of your life. But when we come to Christ, we're willing to go so far sometimes, and then we don't go the rest of the way. We stop. We'll get saved. We may come to church. But then you hear the preacher talking about tithing or giving, serving, getting involved. And it's like, oh, no, I can't do that. Why? We all should be spiritually employed. Well, Pastor, I'm just not worthy enough. None of us are worthy enough. You think I'm worthy enough to be up here? I'm not worthy enough. Jesus made me worthy. I didn't make myself worthy because I can't. I need his forgiveness every day. We all do. And so he's talking to people in the church. So if we're going to truly follow Jesus, we must give him all of us. I'm talking about, again, some of the hard sayings, the words are some of the most tough words, eerie words, if you would. And wouldn't it be great when we read this passage to say, well, none of that applies to me. And the reason it bothers me, it scares me a little bit sometimes when I look at it, I just look at it like, God, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that goes up and say, Lord, Lord, and then think I need to give you my resume. He already knows what you've done. He knows what you've done, what you haven't done, what you should have done, and what you shouldn't have done. He knows it all, and he still cares about us. He still loves us. What I'm trying to say to you folks, it's not about being perfect, because none of us are perfect. And if you're striving to be perfect and you're down on yourself all the time because you make mistakes, join humanity. We all make mistakes. How many have sinned in here? Yeah, and if you didn't raise your hand, you know where liars go. My wife says liars go to Legacy, so you're just safe. But you know, so we've all sinned. How many of you sinned like even before you got here? Yeah, So I don't know about you, but I've preached so many times where I've been in worship and I know it's about my time to come on the stage, and my wife and I had a little intense fellowship because Christians don't argue. We have a spiritual, we just have intense fellowship. So people are like, what is that? You don't want to know. But anyway, so there's times when I've literally stood by her holding her hand and we're worshiping and we, you know, she didn't act right. So, you know, And I've literally looked at her and said, Cynthia, I'm so sorry for what I did or what I said or whatever. And then she always looks at me. She looks at me and goes, you're just saying that because you're fixing to go preach. What does it matter why I'm saying it? I'm trying to get right before I need 2 minutes. Just come on. Just say it's okay. And, you know, crazy white girl I married anyway. So she laughs when I talk like that. Then she gives me that look like you're dying when you get home. So I just go home a little later when she's cooled off, you know. It's my house. I'm like, are you calm? Then I can come back in. All right. So wouldn't it be great that if we ever come to a place we understood that Jesus said some tough stuff, not to hurt us, but to help us, that I never knew you. Most people think Jesus would never say something like that. What do you mean he never knew me? You're not his. And he only corrects those that are his. How many have ever been convicted when you've heard Pastor Carl preach a message like, just like, ah? You know what? You ought to thank God, because the only reason that happens is because you're born again. And those of you that says, I've never felt convicted. Those of us that say, I've never felt convicted. Yeah, because he only corrects his own. He doesn't correct someone that's not his. And Jesus says in John 8 that you're either of your father God or your father the devil. One of them's your father. One of them is the one you're serving. And so we have to come back to where we're serving Christ. See, Jesus is not speaking here to those who don't believe in God. He's not speaking to those who have rejected him outright or to those who would never set foot in a church. Instead, he is addressing those that claim to belong to him and who zealously call him Lord, Lord, but who have been deceived into thinking they're going to enter the kingdom of God when they are not. Why? Because they did what made them feel good, but they didn't do the simplicity of the gospel. I don't know how many times people have walked up to me and said, I just want to do something great for God. And I'm like, good, we need ushers. We need door greeters. Are you tithing? They're like, no, you don't understand. I want to do something great for God. No, you don't understand. You will do nothing for God until you're willing to do what he asks you to do, period. So these things that I just mentioned are fundamental to Christianity. Most people think it's a big thing. Hey, I go to church. Like, okay. But do you serve? Do you help? Do you tithe? Do you do anything for the kingdom? Because if you don't, then you got to ask yourself, why did I get born again? Why did Jesus save me to do nothing? Because that's why he said he saved us. And he said, you don't get saved by what you do. You get saved by believing in Jesus. And then he calls you to do some works. There are things we should do. And how hard is it to get involved in the kingdom? People say, well, I don't feel worthy. Great. None of us are worthy enough. Jesus makes us worthy. None of us are worthy to serve, but you need to serve. Well, I've only been saved a day. Well, the next day you should be serving. What do you mean the next? The next day you should get involved. How spiritual do you have to be to say, hey, welcome to Trinity Church? And I know people that come to my church, not because of my preaching, not because of our worship, but because someone was gracious to them at the door and welcomed them into the house. How spiritual do we have to be to usher, to pass buckets? I mean, you might have to be a little spiritual, look at people like, you didn't give enough, so hold the bucket right there. So stop it right there. You remember those poles they used to use, Pastor Carl? Those poles that they had, those things? I used to laugh, like, because I could see some guy putting that pole all the way across the aisle, like, no, dude, no, I'm going to just hold it here. Get your wallet out. You didn't give enough. Come on. But we get offended over the things that are scriptural, and we shouldn't. And the Bible says if you love the Lord and love his word, nothing will offend you. Psalms 119, 165, if you love the law of God, nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing will offend you. How much is that? That means I never get offended. But sometimes we get offended at the word. Why do we get offended at the word when the word lives in us? Jesus is the word. He lives in us. It became flesh and dwelt among us, and he lives in us. We should never get offended. It may freak us out a bit. We may be like, oh man, I got to start doing that, or I got to stop doing this or whatever. But that's God's love towards us. Jesus is talking to people that knew him as Lord, knew exactly who he was, but wouldn't follow him across the street. They would only follow him to do things that made them look good or them look big in the eyes of people. As much as we would all like to think that none of us here would fit into that category, I think we're deceived to think that there's not somebody that fits into that world. And God is even now trying to pull you in and say, all you got to do is get it right and we're good. So we must listen carefully to what Jesus is saying. We must listen. So how do we make sure that this never happens to me or to us? If you want to enter the kingdom of God, it's not enough just to date Jesus. You got to be committed. We must give him 100% of us. He must have access to every part and aspect of our lives. See, dating is more 50-50. Marriage has to be 100-100. When we date, it is a trial period. Seeing if you are compatible, getting to know a person better, to see if you want to take them out. So if you go on a date and it's not good, guess what? There's no commitment. I don't have to go again. How many of you have ever been on one of those dates where you're like, nope, never again. Come on. And it's easy. But if you get married, it's not that easy to say nope. Because now you got to go through a whole lot of stuff to get rid of that. So we that's what people are doing. They we get to know if it's something we want to do. But when you when you come to a place where you realize that, hey, this may be something serious. Maybe I'm attracted to this person, or maybe we can take it further and get married. But when you come to that place where things are going to become more permanent, then both people must become more transparent about their desires and thoughts with each other. How are we going to raise the kids when we have them? How many kids are we going to have? 2.7. I don't even know how that get that number. Like, I don't know what a 0.7 kid looks like. But that's the average family, I guess, 2.7. I don't know what it is. I don't even know how to explain that. But how are we going to do that? You know, you're going to talk about how we're going to deal with our money. Who's going to handle the money? Who's better with money? You got to go through all these things because now it's permanent. Now we're going to come together. We're going to say, I do. We're going to be married. We're going to be a couple. We're going to be a family. And it's the same way when you come to Jesus. You listen, you hear, and you say yes to him. That means you got to get real committed and find out everything about him that you can and do whatever he asks. I know it's tough being a Christian. It's tough being a Christian in any generation. People say, this is the worst generation ever. This is the most evil ever. I don't think that's true. It's the only generation we know. But I can tell you this, I bet it was worse than Noah's day. I bet 10 bucks, because God killed everybody except 8. So when you say it's the worst ever, no, it's not. God will say, no, it was worse then, because those people were never going to repent. At least God is still trying to reach people today to get them to repent and follow him. So that's what happened. We got to get to know each other. We are no longer self-focused. We need to be more focused on the other. And so we need to get more focused on what Jesus wants than what we want. It's amazing, even with people today in America, you talk to them about Jesus is going to come back soon, and you'll hear people say, I don't want, Jesus can't come back yet. You know, the Bible says in the last days we'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And what happens is I've heard people tell me, man, even young people, I got to get my driver's license. Jesus can't come back till I get my driver's license. I'm like, what? Or I haven't got married yet. I haven't had my 2.7 kids. I think about it. Or I wanted to build a business. I wanted to finish my education. Folks, think about what we're saying. We're just ignoring God completely and saying it's all about me. Listen, if Jesus came back today, you could care less about your driver's license. We'll be flying. Like, I hope we're just like going through walls and stuff, like flying. Like, who cares about a car, man? We're going to be like supermen and superwomen or Wonder Woman, whatever it is you want to be. I don't know. But I'm thinking people think we're just going to float around on clouds. That's even cool. Then we'd all look at each other's clouds, like my cloud's taller than your cloud. But you think we need to understand that God, it's about him now. It's about him in us, not about us. And so people say, well, I want to do this, this, and this. But is that what God wants you to do? And the only way we know is to come back to the scriptures. In some ways, the thought that Jesus would ever say to many, I never knew you, seems almost inconceivable until you read the scriptures. Now listen to the scriptures, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Why is that? Because there's only a few that really embrace their whole Christianity. That's why one of the hardest things in the church world to get people to do is to serve. Why? Everybody should be spiritually employed. And here's what people say, well, I'm busy. Busy doing what? Busy with my life. You mean the life God gave you? Because you don't have life without God. None of us do. But we're too busy to serve because we're too busy living our life. What? The life God? So God gave you a life that was too busy for him. No, that's our own thinking. We've got to all slow down. I don't care if you're the richest person in here or the poorest. Everybody's going to be held to the same standard. Everybody. I don't care if you built the biggest business in the world that's ever known. To Jesus, he won't even probably comment on it. Unless you did something for the kingdom with that. Did you help the kingdom? Did you build the kingdom? Did you build churches? Did you get people saved? Did you make sure people were coming to know Christ? But we think in a way that we can't do things because the church is holy. We think, how can I serve? I've messed up. It doesn't matter what you've done. What are you doing today? You know, years ago, I was at Church on the Move. My wife and I were members at Willie George's church at Church on the Move. I was working for UPS. So I haven't always done this, but I was a UPS driver. And one day, my wife and I went to church, and we always sit in basically the same place within two or three rows. It just depends who got there first, if someone took our seats. How many of y'all sit in the same place almost every time you come in here? Come on. Yeah. You know, and if someone's in your seat, you're like, I'm going to go talk to those people in charge. That's my seat. I had people tell me that before. You know, they look at people like, hey, they're sitting in my seat. I said, the only way you get that seat is to give me $10,000. That seat will put your name on it. No one will sit there but you. 10 grand, you can have a seat. I'll give it to you. You can take it home for 10 grand. I'll give it to you. You can sit at home in it. But we're creatures of habit. So my wife and I sat in the same section, and it was the same usher. His name was Lowell White, and he was the same usher. Well, before this one service, he came up to me and said, hey, Steve, you ever thought about being an usher? And I remember my mind, because I'd been preaching in prisons. I was ordained. I remember in my mind, and I'm a UPS guy, and I'm thinking, I'm no usher. Then my wife, who thinks she's the Holy Spirit sometimes, she elbowed me and she said, Steve, why don't you become an usher? I said, I'm no usher. And I even gave her an attitude like, I'm no usher. Quit talking to me, woman. What do you mean, usher? So I said, no. And then Pastor Willie George gets up from his pulpit. I'll never forget it. He stood behind the pulpit and he said, now listen, guys, I'm not going to preach till I get 10 ushers. And my wife's looking at me and I looked at her and I said, I don't care if he gets none. I don't care if he preaches. I am no usher. True story. I am no usher. I don't care. If he don't preach, we'll just sit here. Had pretty good worship. I'm good. I'm full. Sure enough, that Monday I go to work and I'm driving my UPS truck and I'm praying and worshiping God like everything's great. And all of a sudden these thoughts come, and here's the thought. And I see myself down here and looking up here. And I believe the Spirit of God really gave me a thought that said, Steve, if you can't serve me down here, you'll never serve me from up here. You know what I did? I went to the nearest payphone. Some of you young people don't even know what that is. Because I didn't have a cell phone. I put my money in there and called the church and said, how do I become an usher? How do I do this? And you know what? I had the most fun ushering. It was the fun. When I look back at my Christianity, those couple years that I was there before I left, 3 or 4 years, 5 years, whatever it was the most fun I ever had. I had more fun ushering and just talking to people, getting to know people, and helping people, just serving them. It was so much fun to me. And I'm like, God, and so God can promote then. But what he puts in your hand is important. What are you doing with what he puts in your hand? And if you think it's too much for God, then maybe he should lessen it. But whatever it is, you act on it. You just use it, and then God will bless you and give you more. So I learned very quickly, we got to humble ourselves before God. And I'm telling you, I had the greatest time. My wife worked in the nurseries. She never had the same attitude problems I had. She worked in the nurseries, and on the fifth weekend, she would volunteer and help them. We just wanted to serve. Why? Because, folks, let me tell you something. The people who serve are the most fulfilled in their Christian walk, because now you're doing something for somebody else. So then God now can do something for you. But if we never sow in anybody else's life, that's why we're always focused on our problems and the issues. We're so focused on them that we can't see beyond them. We can't see the answers. God always has an answer. Always. We may not be able to see it right away. He always has an answer. That's why we follow him. And we don't want to be caught in this thing where Jesus said, I didn't know you. And the word know or knew that Jesus uses here is the word that means to know by experience. It's the same word used in other places to describe intimacy, physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. Those that Jesus said he does not know are those who are only dating him, not really committed to him. They are busy trying to impress Jesus instead of just following him and purposing to do what he asks according to his word. See, we are called to do works to bear good fruit once we are saved, but works won't save us. Only God's grace can do that. Isaiah 64:6, and we are all become as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have carried us away. Listen, folks, you cannot do anything to impress Jesus to get born again. His grace, His mercy is what caused us to get right with Him. But then He's called you to do something, not just to sit and do nothing. He did not give His life as a ransom for ours so that we would be inactive. And too many Christians are in the inactive status. And I don't get it. When I first got saved, they told me I had to serve, so I served. They told me I had to tithe, I tithe. I didn't even know what tithing was. When they told me I had to tithe, I'm like, what is that? I'd never heard the term. I was that unsaved. They said, well, you got to give God 10% of your income. And I'm a college student. I'm a gopher at Citizens Bank in Clovis and going to college. And I said, well, how much is that? They said, it's 10%. I said, what? You mean I have to give you 10%, have to give you 10% of my income? They said, if you want to follow God, you got to give 10%. I'm like, oh, so I'm my lightning fast mind, I make $100. I got to give them 10. That means I only have 90 left. That didn't sit well with me. But they said, you don't have a choice. You have to do it. So I'm like, okay. So I started giving my tithes. And to this day, I can tell you it was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. Because my wife and I are more blessed than we ever thought we'd be in our lives. We're doing things we never even dreamed. My wife and I stand at our church, I don't know how often, a lot. And we stand there and we look at each other and say, can you believe we're the pastors of this? Can you believe that we're even a part of this? And I look at the stage and I see these young people worshiping and I see people serving and I'm like, who would have ever thunk this? You know, thunk, thought, whatever. Only God. He has thoughts for you that no one else could even dream about. Not even you have the capacity to understand what He has. But we'll never know it until we just follow Him. Lord, Lord. Is He really Lord, Lord? One commentary says about the scripture, this doesn't mean that God will reject us if we come to Him in faith, nor that He despises our efforts to please Him. He doesn't despise that. It means that if we come to Him demanding acceptance on the basis of our good works, good conduct, God will point out compared to Him who He is, that our works are like filthy rags to Him. This is all about those who refuse to repent. Now, repenting is not apologizing. God, I'm sorry. Nope. Repenting is getting things right. Saying, God, I recognize my behavior wasn't good, so I'm going to adjust it and change my thinking, change my mind. The people He's speaking to are those who might go to church weekly. That's why it's so scary to me and eerie. He's talking to people that may go to church weekly. They may even be a member of a church. They may even give some to the church. They may even serve a little bit, but they haven't given Jesus complete access to their lives. They're too focused on what they can get out of the relationship rather than pleasing Jesus and being just a simple doer of the word. So they never really get to know Him. And those that are like this are folks that talk a lot, but they don't do much for the kingdom. They want to be seen, recognized, instead of just humbling themselves and being a servant. It's mostly about them and little about Jesus. The hard truth about Christianity is that the cost is high. It will cost you. It'll cost you your whole life to follow Jesus. Now, I'm going to say this. It's not about being perfect, because none of us will be perfect. You can never be perfect. If you're trying and striving to be perfect to follow Jesus, you've missed it. The reason He told us to repent and gave us access to Him to get forgiveness is because He knew none of us could be perfect. But we follow Him anyway. Who really is He to you? Is He just some trinket that you look and you put a little cross on your car, a little fishy and a little dove on your check? Or is He more than that? Jesus is worth serving, men. I'm going to talk to men for a moment, because He died a horrific death for us. You and I would look at Him. I mean, that little picture they see of Jesus, those feminine pictures, and He's got His head tucked and one trickle of blood. That's no man's going to follow that. But if we were ever to actually see what He looked like, that His skin was just stripped off His body. He took a beating. He was humiliated. He was hung and crucified on a cross for you. That is someone worth following. See, we get the wrong picture of who Jesus is and what He did for us. And if he's going to be Lord, let him be Lord. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You give him all or you don't give him anything. I mean, if you just give him half of you, it's not good enough. Because that means there's somebody else in charge of your life. And again, he's not saying be perfect. He just says, follow me. How hard is it? Well, Pastor, I sin, so I can't serve. No, you can. We all sin. Everybody sins. And if you say you have no sin, the Bible says you're full. You're deceived. Well, my sins aren't as big as your sins. That's a dumb statement, by the way. All sin is sin. Well, your sin's worse, really? So when Jesus comes back, he says, yeah, you don't make it because your sin was worse than theirs. No, he said you both were in sin. It doesn't matter how bad or good you think they are. And all he wants is your heart. Do you know when you give your heart to somebody, you're willing to do anything? Some of you remember when you were young and got married? You would do anything for that girl. If she said, jump off that cliff, okay. Because you just loved them. You're just willing to sacrifice. To this day, if someone tried to hurt my wife, I would die before I let that happen. I would give my life for her. I would fight till there was no fight left in me to protect her life. That's what Jesus does for us. He protects us. And then we step out of his protection because we're not willing to do the simple things he asks us to do. How hard is it to do some of the things he said to do? It's not very difficult. It's just a choice. When I'm committed, I do it. When I said I do to my wife, we got married and I've lived with her and I've been with her forever and ever. Forever. And too many want a Jesus that will just make them well and make them happy and make them prosperous. But the problem is Jesus isn't your personal genie. He died in agony, folks, to satisfy the wrath of a holy God so that our sins would be forgiven. Yes, we are called to do works, but those works don't save us. God's grace does that when we accept him and we just purpose to do what he says. Let's don't be caught up in this category where we're trying to tell Jesus how great we are. We should be caught up with the category that says we tell Jesus how great he is. Not how great I am. God, because without you, I have nothing. God owns everything. God owns everything. He owns everything. Everything. He owns everything you have. And when you die and this world ends, we'll see who he'll gather it all and say, you can say, no, that's my money. You say, oh, no, that's my money. I own everything. And he makes us and he asks us to be stewards of it, just to be good to him, just to do whatever it is you do. Some of you think, well, my helping, ushering doesn't matter. It matters to somebody, and someone will get born again just because you helped them. God wants you on his team. The question is, will you be on his team? And if you're going to be on the team, you got to wear the uniform. You got to wear the right clothing. You got to put on the right mind, the right thinking. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be on his team. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for being here. I thank you for teaching us. I thank you for helping us. I thank you, Father, that your word is truth. And Lord, that none of us want to be caught up with knowing who you are, but you rejecting us because we never did anything you asked us. Father, turn our hearts and minds towards you in a way that's different today. I pray you challenge people in this room and online just to follow you. Father, if they're not serving, may they go to the class, whatever they have to get involved. And maybe they make it an important part of their walk, their journey. Put it on the top of their list. If they're not giving, may they start giving, because God, that's what releases your blessings in their life. That's the way you can lead and direct them. Give them wisdom, give them thoughts to help them. Open doors that have been closed because they honor you. They respect you. They do what you ask. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, God. It doesn't mean we won't falter, fall, or sin, but we always get back up because we're just not quitters. And that pleases you because that's faith. Faith pleases you. Bless each one in this room in Jesus' name. If you're here with every head bowed and you say, preacher, would you pray with me? I walk with God, but I walked away, but I'm coming home today. I'm not going to get caught up in that category. You're right. It is creepy. It is a little eerie to think about. Or you're here and you say, preacher, would you pray with me? I've never given Jesus my life. I prayed a prayer here and there, but never with the intention to serve him or to follow him or even really get to know him. And preacher, how do I get to know God? Through the Word. You got to get in the Bible. That's how we get to know. The more of the Bible you know, the more of God you know, the more about God you know. But if that's you and you've never given Jesus your life, this is your moment. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's just so simple. And for two reasons. Number one, I want to see if I'm praying for anybody. And number two, the main reason is you get a moment of clarity to say, God, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I just want you in my life. I don't care who knows me. I don't care what they think of me. I just want to know that I'm right before I leave here today. If that's you, in Jesus' name, right where you're seated all over this place, are you ready? Real quick, without any hesitation, in Jesus' name, if that's you, right where you're seated, would you just lift your hand up and say, preacher, include me in your prayer. God bless you, 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 ma'am, God bless you. Over here, God bless you, thank you so much. God bless you, I see the hand, God bless you, I see the hand way back there. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you guys, there's so many, God bless you. God is in the house and God wants your heart and this is how you give it to him. This is where you start. And maybe for some of you, just start anew. Just start fresh. Okay, I know I haven't been all in, but I'm all in today. Anybody else? Thank you. I saw the hand. God bless you. Anybody else before we close? Father, thank you. Thank you, sir. In the powerful name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Father, in the powerful name of Jesus, I thank you for all those who lifted their hand. There were so many. This is such a great house. Pastor Carl and Gloria are such great pastors, great leaders. God, I thank you for blessing this house like it's never been blessed before. And for those who just lift their hand, God, I know you're pleased with them because that took faith. It took courage for some. And I pray, God, you show yourself so strong in their behalf that they'll follow you. And on that day when judgment comes and they say, Lord, Lord, you'll say, hey, come on in. I know exactly who you are. That's the heart that we want, God. Give it to them in Jesus' name. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer loud with me right where you're seated. I want everybody in here that's right with God, if you would, to pray in support of those so they're not praying alone. You don't know, there were so many hands raised. There's probably someone sitting right next to you. When you pray with them, it just helps them. It supports them. And it lets them know we're all in this together. Would you pray this prayer loud with me, loud enough for your ears to hear your voice? Would you pray, Father, I choose to believe in Jesus. And I believe he is your son. And I believe he is Lord. And he's the only way. So today, according to your word, I believe with my heart. And now I willingly confess with my mouth, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm all in, God. I'll do what you ask. I'll change my thinking to honor you, to obey you in Jesus' name. Thank you for receiving me in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Church, let's thank God. Thank you so much.